Hi everybody, PG Holyfield here. I just wanted to let you know that this is the listener feedback show, and as you can hear my baby daughter in the background, put her down for her nap, and she is talking to herself, and I can hear it. Anyway, just wanted to let you know that the audio for this particular episode is going to be very raw. I recorded it in my office, not in my studio, and there's a lot of ambient noise, got computer fans. I was playing voicemails and music out of one computer and picking that up in my microphone that I was also speaking into so that I could do this just on the fly. And the audio is a bit raw, but I hope you can listen and enjoy. Thanks.
Greetings. This is the Astral Guardian from the Astral Audio Experience, and you're listening to Murder at Avedon Hill, listener feedback show number one. Alright, let's get me out of here. Now.
Welcome to the podcast presentation of Murder at Avedon Hill. My name is PG Holyfield, and today we have our listener appreciation show, listener feedback show, and I'm actually doing this, just recording the audio and using SoundCart software to record everything, but I'm also using Stick'em and got a couple of the most steadfast fans of the podcast watching me do this as well. You get to see my ugly profile for the most part, it sounds like. So I am going to be playing some voicemails. I am going to be reading a few emails. And then I'll take any questions at the end from our Stick'em participants and try to answer them as well. I've got about 35 minutes here that I can do this. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. My first voicemail is actually from back in February. It's been so long. I have been promising this listener feedback show since about that time, and that's when I put February is when I put up the Karen line, which for anybody that would like to call that wants to be on the next listener feedback show, that number is 704-315-5884. But this first voicemail is Jody, and she called in February, and she had this to say.
Hey, Mr. Holyfield, my name is Jody, and I wanted to let you know that I was reluctant for the longest time to check out Murder at Avedon Hill. I saw it on audiobooks, and I thought, no, it sounds hokey. But then I heard it advertised, I think it was on, it was another one I heard it advertised on. And I thought, you know what, I really like this podcast, I'm going to check out this PG Holyfield one. I am totally hooked, I love this, I love the way you use your voice, I like your characters, I like your wife's voice, everything about the whole thing is awesome, I'm hooked. And I'm going to go see if I find anything else that you wrote. So keep up the good work, and I'm going to pass on the word. Great book. Thanks.
Thank you, Jody. And I know that you are still sticking around because I've gotten multiple emails from you over the months, and appreciate you listening. The next voicemail was from March, and it's Andy. Let's see what Andy has to say.
Hey, FPG, this is Andy Crosscon from Minnesota. And just wanted to let you know how much enjoying the Murder at Avedon Hill. And, boy, if you ever need another hand to record a voice in an upcoming episode, we'll honor your band. So, I hope to hear from you. You got my email, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Andy. And again, Andy is another one of the listeners that has kept in contact with me and is still enjoying the work, I hope. Next, we have my... Even though I've got these great guys here and Stick'em watching, this has to be my best fan, and this is Nick. Nick has, since this time, which was March when he sent this first voicemail, he has bought a copy of the book. He bought an autographed copy of the book. He has bought two t-shirts that I know of for Murder at Avedon Hill and has spread the word to everyone that he can in the UK. So let's see what his first voicemail to me was all about.
Hey, PG. This is Nick in the UK. I just wanted to let you know how much I'm enjoying Murder at Avedon Hill. I'm training to do a bike ride the length of the UK for the Alzheimer's Society to raise money for. And the last couple of days, my cycling's never been so easy because I've consumed episodes 1 to 18 back to back and I've just been totally absorbed into Aramis Craven's adventures. It's just fantastic. The trouble is, I'm caught up now, so I'm going to be one of these fanboys hounding you to get back in the studio and get another episode out quick. Anyway, thanks for the fabulous work, and if you'd like to support my efforts to raise money for the Alzheimer's Society, check out www.joggle.eu and leave a comment or lots of money, whichever you rather. Cheers!
Yes, that's one of the big regrets that I haven't done this listener feedback show before this. I did mention it on the podcast at least once. Nick's great cause, his bike ride across the UK, which took place, I believe, in June or early July. And I know it was a success, but please still go to the website. I know they're still collecting money for the Alzheimer's research. So please go to joggle.eu. And if you can contribute, please do. Next, I have one of the participants in the Stick'em session, which is Thomas Reed. And he also is one of my biggest fans and a convert from the Scott Sigler forums. And this was his first email, excuse me, his first voicemail, I believe, back in March.
Alright, just listen to episode 19. This is Thomas P. Reed from the Hyperactive Commenter from ScottSigler.com. I can't tell you what a pleasure that intro was with Sigler. It was hysterical. And the episode was fantastic. Except he gave me a double whammy at the end there. I wanted to damn you for giving us that cliffhanger, and damn you for that music outro that you have at the end that kind of softens the blow of the cliffhanger. But anyway, love this story. I absolutely love it. It's wonderful, and you just got me so into it. I can't wait for the next one. I don't know what else to say. It's been great listening to you, and the voices you get for your characters are perfect and wonderful, and I love the music you have. I can't remember her name, but Impossible Butterfly, the theme, which is a takeoff of the Mission Impossible theme, is just absolutely perfect. We'll talk to you later. I hope to get with you this week on Hulu. Bye.
Yes, a couple things there that Thomas spoke about, and one was the Scott Sigler intro that he did for episode 19, where he sent me just a wonderful rant. I sent him just, hey, can you do an intro bumper? And if you want to, because at that point I was doing the Bitstrips comic bits about Scott Sigler and poking fun at his reputation and his persona. And I just asked him, I said, you know, give me a hard time about not getting my episodes out consistently because I'm spending too much time working on comic strips. And he sent me just a 2-minute profanity-laced rant that I still have part of that I didn't even play, so I'll save that for a blooper show at the end. Thomas also mentioned the music, and that is Shira Common that I use for most of the thematic music of the podcast. Her great medieval music can be found at magnatune.com. I've been branching out the last few episodes and doing a couple more things, or using a couple more pieces of music, and just wanted to mention them. One would be, I used the Eileen Duin Celtic song. The version I found was on David Beard's website at davidbeardmusic.com. Really a great song, and I'll even play a little of that right now. And it may be a little loud, but I really love this song, and it fit perfectly with the chapter dealing with, speaking of Aruna singing her song. Actually, no, it's dealing with Sarah Tremaine talking about singing the song of Aruna. So that is that. And Laurel Zucker is another piece of another musician that I've used. I used a couple. She's a flautist, and I used a couple classical pieces in that same episode dealing with Sarah Tremaine. The last piece of music, which I really love and is perfect for something that's going to come back later in the novel as well, and that is Stella Mara. I used a song, I can't remember the name of the song, I apologize, but Stella Mara's CD that they did, it was actually a CD they released in 99, but you can still find it on magnatune.com, and they describe themselves, or at least their tags, on original Balkan, Near Eastern, Medieval, Ambient, World Music. And I just wanted to do a shout out for Conundrum over on Twitter for pointing me in Stella Mara's direction, because, again, I really like that music. So go ahead and stop the Eileen Duin and get back to a voicemail. And, oh, guess who it is?
Hey, I just got through dropping a note on T-Fly.
Calling me T. Mistake number one in voicemail.
TTT.
It's always T.
I just want to say it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot. I didn't say a whole lot because of you all were got into the podcasting end and that stuff, and I was just soaking it all in. I just really not that familiar with the process behind, but I was really enjoying hearing y'all talk about it, and.
And what Thomas was speaking to was I held an UVU event in May, I think, and I still have the video for that. And in fact, I pulled a few questions that James Keeling had from the UVU chat event, and I'll play them a little bit later and answer those questions here. And the event was great, had about 8 people, including T. Morris and Philippa Ballantyne, show up, and we had a lot of fun that night. Right now I want to read a couple of emails, and the main reason I wanted to do that is because these emails came from all over the world. So the first email I have here is from Linz from Austria. And Linz, I believe, wrote very early on, even before voicemails. I think this was back in November or December of last year. Hi, PG. I'm currently in hospital because of kidney stones. Oh, my God. These things hurt and bring down the toughest men. Good thing is, I loaded my music player with Murder at Avedon Hill and listened to the first three chapters so far. I love the story, the quality, and the cast so far. Reminds me a little of Umberto Eco's Der Name der Rose, and that is no bad thing because this is one of my all-time favorite movies. And the other reason I wanted to read that email is because he mentions The Name of the Rose, which is one of my all-time favorite movies as well. And I am not ashamed to admit that Sean Connery's character in The Name of the Rose, even though I had been playing Aramis Cragen as a role-playing character even before that movie came out, Aramis certainly took on some characteristics of Sean Connery in my mind thereafter, and it shows up, hopefully, a little in the books as you hear them. The next email would be from Australia, and this is Larandar. Thank you for many hours of engrossing fiction. I am listening from Australia and am humbled by the fact you would put such an excellent piece of literature on the internet for free. Keep up the good work. And then there's a PS. Do you have any plans to release information on the world in a D20 format? You could sell it as a PDF. I know I would buy it and help with the cost of sound gear, etc. So two pieces here. The one is talking about putting it out here for free. Yeah, I love doing this, and you know, hopefully anything that I write in the future or that I have, I will be podcasting in some form in the future. So you'll keep getting that. And of course, there's the book, and I will be doing a push at the end of the podcast once I get the final version, which, you know, I'm not going to lock it down completely until I am done podcasting it. Once I do that and get it up on Amazon, I will be doing a little run on Amazon myself, more than likely on a smaller scale than what T and Pip and Scott have done. But I'm going to have some fun with that at that time. The other piece of it is talking about D20. And I have started releasing some things, some maps and different things on the website. I certainly have enough reference material, and I do plan and have always planned on doing something in the RPG arena with Cairn, and we'll see where that goes down the line. If the novels become popular, then that will make it a whole lot easier because I'll be able to farm out some stuff. And I see Selgenor, who is in the chat, is offering to help. So I will certainly keep that in mind for the future, Selgenor. I'm going to get back to voicemails, and next we will hear Justin.
Hey, this is Justin from Korea. I just listened to the latest episode today, where Aramis and I are fighting the Edward Vampire, and I noticed both your action scenes when you switched. Talking about a specific person, you played your little sound, little music thing, and that's really good in other parts of the story, because you know you're going through a different scene, because you can't see it on the book, of course, if you're listening, but in the action sequences, it kind of breaks it up, so it's less action-y, it's like little moments, instead of, a whole action scene, kind of slows it down. So that might, see what it sounds like if you put the whole together without the little breaks in there. And I thought that would sound better. I'm still loving the story. Can't wait to see what happens. Thanks.
Thank you, Justin. And I sent him an email and talked to him about this. And I do agree a little bit with what he's saying. I use the little sound cues as about a 5-second sound cue, really to mark changes in point of view or breaks in scenes. So I have a break in scene where, maybe 10 minutes is going to pass, and so, you know, I have a little sound cue to mark that. But also, within the same scene, and I do this a lot later on when we get to more of the action sequences, where I change from Aramis to Aaron's point of view, even to the killer's point of view, or to somebody else's point of view, I'll use that sound cue, and maybe the 7-second sound cue is a little bit too much for that. I may have to find, when I get to more of the action sequences, something shorter to mark the transition between point of view within the same scene. So I will look into that and hopefully come up with something before I'm done. Next thing I wanted to do... I'll read this email because it has a good topic here. And this came from Lauren, and I believe it came probably around the April time frame, maybe April, May. Firstly, I am a big fan of Murder at Avedon Hill. I stumbled upon it by chance when I was searching for a good mystery podcast for my iPod. I am totally hooked and eagerly await each of your episodes. However, I must admit I am a tad confused about some of the backstory. What exactly is the Aronic Advisors? And I was wondering if you could possibly podcast if you could post a podcast simply discussing the Land of Cairn, the significance of the children, and so on. A Cairn for dummies, if you will. I understand you have a lot of information at your website, but I'd love to hear it in your own words. Thanks, and keep up the good work. And I sent back an email to Lauren, but I wanted to say it here in case anyone is confused a little bit by what's going on. There is information on the website, like Lauren mentioned. And also, I did a podcast, I think it was the T-3 podcast, back before I got started with the actual podcast, February, maybe May of 2007. And you can still find those on iTunes or on the website. And that was mostly talking about the Land of Cairn, talking about, you know, the children and the legends that, you know, build up the idea of the children of Aj, and about the Aronic Advisors. I didn't really go too much into the Aronic Advisors, I don't think, but the gist is, and it's been brought up on a couple of things, they are my Jedi. They are an independent faction that came about, founded by Thorn Twoblade, and he founded once he had followers that believed in what he was doing, and what he was doing was basically trying to keep the different political factions from destroying themselves, because this was during a time where there were several wars going on between the different nations, and he formed a brotherhood that would offer their services to these political factions. And they proved themselves in certain ways during this particular war as peacekeepers. So over time, these advisors became sought after by every political faction. If you didn't have an Aronic advisor, you were somehow not as, not seen as powerful as you wanted to be. So you would want to get at least one Aronic advisor within your staff or your household. So, Aramis is one of these Aronic advisors. He worked for one of the royal families in Cairn, and he retired at a very young age because he had a calling specifically to the land. And, you know, he has been pulled back because of some things you'll find out right near the end of the novel, why he came back. It was a specific request, and he, heeded the call, and he is with Aaron now because of that. So we'll hear more about that later on in the novel. So hopefully that T-3 podcast gave Lauren more information and made it easy to follow. Let's get back to another voicemail.
Hey, PG, this is Andrew Jennings calling Syracuse, New York. Great job. I think that the podcast is awesome. I don't know if I've really changed, but I think you're doing a great job with the audio. It's really clear. The story is progressing nicely. Definitely have the edge of my seat to see what's happening. And I just want to say, keep up the great work. Take care.
Thank you, Andrew. This voicemail is from Thomas, and back in May, I believe, possibly June, after the UVU event, I asked Thomas if he would like to do a Story So Far segment, and he did, with his daughter, Abby, and because of the sound file, I end up cutting Thomas out almost completely and focusing on his daughter, Abby, who did a wonderful job with the Story So Far for that episode.
Pete, I can't tell you how much my daughter and I enjoyed doing the Story So Far. We had a blast recording it. My last wife left us at us the whole time we were doing it. And I really enjoyed the story and looking forward to more. Talk to you later. Bye. Oh, did I say that this was Thomas? I guess he figured that out. Bye.
Yes, Thomas, I never forget that voice. I will never forget that voice. Next, I have a voicemail left by Michael Spence, who is another great fan, and you'll probably be hearing his voice before it's all over in some capacity, whether it's a Story So Far or something else, because he has a great voice, and he actually made a guess at something, and I guess he ended up being wrong, and he just had to call in about it.
Good afternoon, PG. This is Michael Spence. The, you got me with the last episode of One. I was fairly certain that Edvard had something terrible going on, but my goop, I thought he was a moon beast. We'll see what happens now. In the meantime, I'm enjoying the story very, very much, and I'm looking forward to seeing what other kinds of secrets come out in all this. That's it. I will look forward to hearing much more. And in fact, I'm looking forward to your video event coming up. That sounds like fun. Talk to you later.
And what Michael was speaking to at the end there was episode 24, which was the end of part one of the novel. I did I released the episode as normal, but on the same day or that night or the next day, I can't remember. I also did a live reading using the same SoundCart software that I'm using right now, and it really went well. There was some lag issues and different things, but as far as the actual reading and the recording of it, on my end, it went really well and had a lot of fun with that. Hi, everybody, and due to time constraints, I decided to break up the listener feedback episode into two parts. Part one I'm releasing today, and part two I will be releasing tomorrow. So come on back tomorrow and download part two. And then episode 29 should be out on Friday, and at the latest, Saturday. Have a good week.